The Gospels are not fairy tales. Whatever else we might say about them, whether we find their story attractive or not, helpful or not, whether we believe that story or not, there's no escaping the fact that the Gospels are put before our eyes not as myths or as legends, but as histories, as accounts of things really said and done and fulfilled among us by Jesus Christ of Nazareth 2,000 years ago. In various ways, the different Gospels make that point. St. Matthew begins his Gospel with the genealogy of Jesus Christ, tracing his lineages back through his ancestors, the kings of Israel, back to Abraham, our father in faith. Part of the point is that it is our history, our world, into which the Savior is coming, not some long-off time and place unknown to us. St. Luke's Gospel tells us that his story is set not once upon a time in a land far away, but when Caesar Augustus was reigning in Rome and Quirinius was governor of Syria, Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea. These are real people, real places, real times. The Gospels are meant to narrate real events. And that can be unnerving. If they were merely legends or myths or exercises of the religious imagination, we might be content with questions like, do I like the story or not? Do I find it helpful or not? But set before us as they are, as true accounts of things seen and heard, they press upon our mind another question. Is it true? And if it is true, what must we do in response? The truth of the gospel, the truth of the resurrection, is what is front and center in the story that we heard from St. Luke's gospel today. We find ourselves once more gathered with the apostles after the agony and the suffering of Good Friday and Holy Saturday's strange silence. We find them gathered together on that first Easter day, their ears prickling with the rumors of a hope beyond hope and a wild joy, that the tomb is empty, that he had been seen alive, that death was conquered. And then, in the midst of all their joys and expectations, he appears among them. And we read that they were troubled and afraid and thought they were seeing a ghost. They thought, perhaps, that it wasn't real. It's just a ghost, just a vision, just an idea, just a story. But Jesus replies to all these doubts. He says to them, "Why are you afraid? Why do doubts arise in your heart? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost has not flesh and bones, as you see that I have." The resurrection is physical. It is real. And he was standing right in front of them. After that encounter that the apostles had with the risen Lord, their lives were never the same. And we, today at the distance of 20 centuries, celebrating this joyous season of Easter, have the opportunity to meditate on the question that confronted the apostles on that first Easter Sunday. Is it real? And if it is real, what must I do in response to it? This morning, I would like to suggest two practical things that can help us live our lives as if we believed in the resurrection, that can help us live our lives in the light and the truth that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And the first thing has to do with how we interact with suffering. And the second thing has to do with how we pray. To take up that first thing, this question of suffering. It's obvious enough in the stories about the appearances of the risen Lord in the gospel that his suffering and his death are closely tied together with his resurrection and his glory, showing them his hands, his feet, his side, asking them to look on the wounds, the marks of his suffering and passion, now become the trophies of his victory. When he was walking on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples who don't know who he is, we see them stumbling. They said, "We thought that Jesus was the Messiah, the one to redeem Israel, but now all this has happened, and he's been put to death." Jesus opens their minds. He says, "Don't you know that the Savior had to suffer and so enter into his glory?" That dynamic, that association between suffering and glory, between death and life, is then manifested to us in the lives of the apostles that we read about in the book of Acts. Those scared and scattered fishermen are transformed by their encounter with their Lord who is alive, and they went forth with boldness and with courage to preach his gospel to the ends of the earth. They were brave to leave behind their homes, their families, their work, the world that they knew. Even though that meant opposition, even though it meant suffering, even though it ultimately meant the shedding of their blood. That Easter day, whose memory always burned in them brightly, gave them courage to suffer whatever might come. And it's meant to do the same for us. We're meant to share in the life of the risen Lord. And the way to share his life is through the way of the cross. He asks us to take up our cross and follow him, to die to ourselves, to turn from our old bad habits and our sinful ways, to give of ourselves, to pour out our lives in love for our brothers and sisters, even though it hurt, even though we have to suffer, even to the end. He promises that if we are made like him in a death like his, we'll be made like him also in the glory of his resurrection. And St. Paul can say, "I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me." That's the transformation he means to work in us. And this Easter season, as we think about our lives, we have the opportunity to ask ourselves, how are we doing? When we face the sufferings, the setbacks, the difficulties of this world, whatever they are right now, in your life, in mine, economic worries, concerns about our health, about our family, about rejection by the world, the prospect of physical suffering, maybe even the prospect of death, how do we respond? Do we cower before those things in terror and in fear? Or do we look them squarely in the eye with a courage that has seen the empty tomb and the one who died and lives forever? Do we treat these things as if they had ultimate dominion, ultimate mastery over us? Or do we treat them as if Jesus Christ our Lord had trampled them underfoot, a victorious king forever? Are we able to echo the words of St. Paul with our voices filled with the holy hope and joy? O hell, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? They are defeated, my brothers and sisters, by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are meant to share his life, to let it strengthen us when we are weak and make us brave. We are meant to follow every day more and more deeply his command, do not be afraid. But we are afraid. Sometimes the darkness seems to circle all around us, and we are very much afraid indeed. And we, though we have faith, can be tempted to forget it, to live practically and day by day as if the body of the Lord were still in its tomb, as if we didn't believe in the resurrection. And he means for us to fight with that tendency. And one of our most powerful tools to fight it is the tool of prayer. Prayer is meant to be an exercise in faith, an exercise in stretching out our minds to look at him and to see him alive. In the gospel story that we read today, when he encounters the anxiety and the hesitation of his apostles, he responds by inviting them to look at him. Look at my hands, my side. See that it is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost has not flesh and bones like I have. And while, unlike the apostles, we cannot see him with our physical eyes, we have the opportunity to see him with the holy gaze of faith. And we strengthen that tendency in prayer. This Easter season, why not make an extra effort to pray, to open up our eyes in faith, to strengthen the habit of prayer within us, or to build it up if it hasn't been there before? For when we do that, we stretch open our eyes, then faith's light gets brighter and brighter inside us till it chases away the shadows and the darkness of our lives and let us see the world as it really is in the light of the tomb that is empty and the Lord who lives forever. The Gospels are not fairy tales. They are put before us as true accounts of the marvels that were done among us. And the one at the center of their story really died and really rose from the dead and really is alive now and reigns in glory and wants to share his life with us. He is the first and the last, the living one. He died, and behold, he is alive forevermore, and he holds the keys of death and hell. As we keep this holy feast of Easter, let us live as though we believed that.